group are serious. He said on the campaign trail, I don't know about this Project 2025. It's nothing I support. Well, here's the main author of it right there in the perfect position for him to do as much damage as possible in the Office of Management and Budget. The first thing we can do is take care of ourselves, but I do not in any way encourage people to retreat. If you feel you have to because it's so stressful, please do, but then please do it so that you can join back in. And here's why. We're all going to be doing something that's actually very uplifting because we are going to have new bonds of solidarity formed because so many of the people who are listening right now are worried, stressed out, know that tremendous damage is going to be done to the very fabric of the society we live in. We join with them and we help them on their cause and they help on our cause and we all share causes. That's going to be a new level of oppositional solidarity. A very, very uplifting spirit can arise out of such solidarity. Let's not just put Band-Aids on things and then have them continue to corrode when Democrats get back in power. That will just feed back into the re-rise of a proto-fascist right. Once that little bug of solidarity hits, I think everybody's going to recognize that some good can come out of this very, very disturbing circumstance we're in right now.
On that note, Alan Minsky, Executive Director of Progressive Democrats of America, I want to thank you very much for joining us on Politics or Pedagogy.
Thank you, John.
This is John Crumshaw with a special Politics or Pedagogy Education Report, KPFK, now in our fund drive. Please make your contribution at 818-985-5735 or pledge online at kpfk.org.
You're listening to KPFK 90.7 FM, Los Angeles.
Good afternoon and welcome to Middle East in Focus. I'm Esty Chandler. One of South Africa's lawyers at the International Court of Justice described Israel's 15-month genocidal assault on Gaza as, quote, the first genocide in history where its victims are broadcasting their own destruction in real time, in the desperate, so far vain hope that the world might do something, end quote. As Salim Haddad wrote in the foreword to the new book, Samud, A New Palestinian Reader, how do you imagine a future when the present is being obliterated before your eyes? The Arabic word Samud often translates as steadfastness or standing fast. It is above all a Palestinian cultural value of everyday resistance in the face of Israeli occupation, in times of devastation. Poetry, literature, and art are the mediums through which oppressed people reveal cherished aspects of their existences and have remained defiant in the fight for self-determination. Samud, A New Palestinian Reader, honors the Palestinian spirit and its power in the face of dispossession and war, as governments around the world enable their genocide and the dilapidation of their sacred homeland, as the Palestinian people consistently remain steadfast and resistant. As Salim Haddad writes, Samud is not just the project of survival, quote, but also one of remembrance, record-keeping, and revitalization. It is the immediate and stubborn insistence on holding on. It is the shared process of being witness and collective remembrance, an enraged and engaged act of love. And in what are arguably the darkest hours Palestinians have ever lived through, with the world's most powerful countries hell-bent on their annihilation, with nearly all of Gaza's hospitals, homes, universities, and museums reduced to rubble, and with its people trapped and starving inside it like a concentration camp, Samud is a call for a radical and daring act of imagination, end quote. I am very pleased to be joined today by Jordan L. Grobley, the editor of Samud, a new compilation of essays, memoir, fiction, poetry, and art from the Markaz Review, for a conversation about this new Palestinian reader and the many artists, activists, authors, and academics who contributed their work to it. We also hope to be joined by the literary editor at the Markaz Review. Jordan El Grabli is the editor-in-chief and founder of the Markaz Review. He's a Franco-American and Moroccan writer and translator whose stories and creative nonfiction have appeared in numerous anthologies and reviews, including Apuli, Samal Gundi, and the Paris Review. As many listeners in Southern California know, Jordan is also the co-founder and former director of the Levantine Cultural Center, later reopened as the Markaz in Los Angeles, for almost two decades, from 2001 to 2020, which was a beloved hub for cultural events of all kinds, and who generously provided space for activists to meet, work, and educate the community, which is still the Markaz and Jordan are still greatly missed by Angelenos, including myself. We're also joined today by Malu Halassa, as I said, the literary editor at the Markaz Review. Malu is a Jordanian Filipina American writer and editor. Her latest edited anthology is Woman, Life, Freedom, Voices and Art from the Women's Protests in Iran, which has been shortlisted for the 2024 Bread and Roses Prize for Radical Publishing. Her many previous co-edited anthologies include Syria Speaks, Art and Culture from the Frontline, Kava Golstan, Recording the Truth in Iran, and the short series Transit Beirut, New Writing and Images. It is my great pleasure to welcome Jordan El Grabli and Malu Halassa to Middle East in Focus.
Hello, Esti. It's been so long, and thank you for having us on this show. I want to shout out to all my many friends in L.A. and people who remember Don Bustani, who started the show probably, how many, 20 years ago?
Negu and I have been doing it for 10 years, and Don did it for 17 years before us.
Wow. Okay. So this goes back in time, into the midst of time. Yes, Malu Halassa and I are the co-editors of Samud, a New Palestinian Reader. It just came out less than a month ago, and we just returned from a four-city tour on the East Coast. We were at Harvard, which was a packed house. We had no hecklers anywhere. The reception to the book has been excellent. So we're happy to be here to talk about it.
I am not surprised by that, having had the joy of reading some of it myself. Malu, to quote from the Markaz Review, the world has now witnessed Samud at its most tenacious, as the Palestinians hold on to life, dignity, and a centuries-old culture amid an onslaught that threatens their survival. As I alluded to in the opening, poetry, literature, murals, and all art forms are mediums through which oppressed people process, reflect, express, resist. So I wonder if you can talk a bit about how the contributions in Samud, a New Palestinian Reader, do those things.
Well, we wanted to have a range of material that would show the culture of resistance that the Palestinians have been, they've been working on for a very long time. But also during the war on Gaza, there was a lot of new material that was being generated, that people were able to write memoir or war diaries while they're being bombed. It shows their ability to practice steadfastness or to continue promoting or telling what their lives are like, especially when things are so dangerous. For example, we opened the book with Messages from Gaza Now by Hossam Madhoun, who's a theater maker. And actually what he starts doing, he starts reporting these daily missives of what's going on to him, what's happening to him and his family, how they're being displaced, what it's like to be living, to be trying to sleep when there's ongoing bombing happening, and how not only is his family and children affected, but even how his dog is affected. Also, what we have in the book, which is really kind of remarkable, is that there's a whole new generation of Palestinian poets are coming to the fore now. And they are voices that are sometimes in Gaza, sometimes in the West Bank, sometimes in Jerusalem, but also in America, that there are many poets in the diaspora. And poetry is one way that the Palestinians really show their innermost feelings about the occupation, or when their homes are being attacked in East Jerusalem, or what it's like for them to travel all the time through checkpoints. And I think that poetry is another form that's quite important at this time. Another thing that we have in Samud is that we have a short story, a science fiction story by a Gazan novelist. His name is Ahmed Massoud, and his short story is called Application 39. And it's about two hackers, and as a joke, they put in a bid that Gaza City will be the will hold the Olympics in the future. But really, it's a story that was written before the war, and yet it talks about drones, and it kind of talks about the military high tech war that the Gazans were facing now. So there are several instances in the book where we really do that. The material really highlights what Samud means.
Yes, I think poetry is definitely making a huge re-emergence with this younger generation. Jordan, likewise, the contributors to this new Palestinian reader are examining, celebrating, and in many cases, exhibiting Samud. The diverse group of contributors include many people who have been heard through the years here on Middle East and Focus and KPFK, including Ilan Pappe, Ahad Tamimi, Mohammed El-Kord, Fadi Koran, Visualizing Palestine, and Sarah Roy. The contributors include poets, novelists, activists, physicians, academics, filmmakers, journalists, Christians, Muslims, and Jews, and most importantly, many, many Palestinians. Can you tell us about some of the Palestinian contributors to the book, please?
Yes, certainly. You know, we're really pleased to present many of the Markaz Review's repeat Palestinian contributors, including author and attorney Raja Shahadeh, who many know. He's in Ramallah. Novelist and attorney Salman Sabak in London, as well as Janina Bushi, who's in Marseille. Novelist Suzanne Abu Hawa, and so many more, in addition to Palestinian artists, too numerous to name, but including Hazem Harb and Larissa Sansour. You know, talking about Gaza, we were one of the first to publish Gazan poet Mosab Abu Toha's poems upon the recommendation of our contributing editor, Amil Alkali. Mosab, of course, survived nearly a year of the genocide in Gaza before escaping with his family, although his four-story family home was demolished in a bombing, and he lost his pride and joy, the Edward Said Library, that he'd built over the years. And so Mossab's first book, you may remember, Things You May Find Hidden in My Ear, was published in 2022 by City Lights, and the book was a finalist for the National Book Critics Circle Award for Poetry and won the Palestine Book Award, the American Book Award, and the Walcott Poetry Prize, which is rather, you know, surprising for a first book. He also won an Overseas Press Club Award for his Letter from Gaza Columns for The New Yorker. And he has a new poetry collection, Forest of Noise from Knopf, which was a New York Times best notable book. And Mosab Abu Toha joined us the other day at NYU, and where we had a standing room only crowd. He has become kind of a beacon, and he continuously represents the people who are still back in Gaza, letting us know what's going on. You can find him on all the social media. And he, of course, was a very good friend of Rifat Al-Arir, who many of us still miss to this day.
You're listening to Middle East in Focus on listener-supported KPFK in Los Angeles. I'm Esti Chandler, very, very happy to be joined today by Malou Halassa and Jordan El-Grabli, the editors of Samud, a new Palestinian reader, a new compilation of essays, memoir, fiction, poetry, and art from the Markaz Review. 818-985-5735. That's 818-985-5735 or kpfk.org. KPFK is once again in Fund Drive and has been widely reported. President Trump and his allies have shown a renewed vigor, setting among their sights a longtime target of the far right, public media. Recent moves by the Federal Communications Commission and Republican lawmakers scrutinizing public media outlets over claims of bias are fueled by the president's vendetta campaign against all he feels have treated him unfairly. Those of us who have the privilege of bringing you important voices and awareness about important works like Samud, a new Palestinian reader, along with the many volunteers and staff members who keep the station running, are custodians. But as always, KPFK belongs to the community. KPFK belongs to you, our listeners. You've kept this show on the air for over 40 years and KPFK alive for over 75 years. So I'm asking you now to help us stay on the air by donating whatever you can afford. No donation is too small. If you appreciate our programming, if you depend on our reporting, if our music and cultural shows get you through your days, please call now to make a pledge. Additionally, during this month's fund drive, KPFK is collaborating with Habitat for Humanity Los Angeles. So a portion of all donations to KPFK will go to rebuilding and recovery efforts for those who have lost homes in the recent California wildfires. The more you give, the more we can help our fellow Angelenos who are suffering from the effects of the recent devastating LA wildfires. Call 818-985-5735 or log on to kpfk.org to join the effort. Malu, another important theme various writers address in the book, Samud, a new Palestinian reader, is that art was always and remains perceived as a threat by Israeli authorities. Can you tell us about how that's addressed by several contributors in various ways that people may not even realize, sometimes expressed on a political poster, artwork featuring particular colors through theater, poetry, or film? As does the current feature film, From Ground Zero, which is completely made by artists and activists still trapped in Gaza.
You know, what's really interesting is if you look at the history of Palestinian art, you can go back to the 1970s and 1980s, and there were no official art galleries or there were no places to really exhibit on the West Bank. And that artists would hold shows in schools and churches and town halls. And they would not only get the local people coming to these shows, but the IDF soldiers would also come. You know, in Palestine, artists have always been in the front line of a cultural resistance. And if those painters or artists were to show a Palestinian flag, they'd be arrested. So they sort of learn to show the colors of the Palestinian flag. And those colors are used in the watermelon today as an emblem that's on the internet. Instead of using the word Palestine, you see a watermelon. And that's something that's come from the past. But what's interesting in the book is that we also have in the book two of the photographs that one of the founders of Palestinian modern art, Vera Tamari, had taken of her exhibition from 2002. In 2002, there was an incursion of the IDF into the West Bank. And Jordan and I have been having a discussion about it was the IDF tanks went through the towns of Ramallah and Al Bira, and they crushed the cars that were in the way of the tanks. And Vera Tamari took these cars in Ramallah and she arranged them. She made a tarmac on the Friends School And she made an installation of these crushed cars called Going for a Ride. This was in 2002. And so they had an opening for the exhibition, and she took two photographs. She was planning to take more, and but those were the only two that she had taken. That night, the Israeli tanks returned again. They drove over the crushed cars again, destroying the installation. And then they stopped the tanks, and the IDF soldiers got out, and they peed on the exhibition. And so we're showing these pictures. It's kind of amazing that we even have access to these pictures of this installation. But that's just one of the artworks that kind of shows the spirit of Palestinian artists. Another from this time also is that we have a photograph that's the negative has been printed by Rula Helwani. And actually, this is from the same incursion in 2002. And what she's showing is that there are bodies on the street. Now, the war in Gaza has also, many artists have responded with new political posters. And that's something that we're also showing in the book, because political posters are quite important for the Palestinian movement. They were used in the 1980s by the PLO. But also now a whole group of artists have been making political posters in a way to bring attention to what has been going on in Gaza.
Yes. It also shows the culture of the soldiers. Jordan, cancel culture and being canceled has been a hotly contested issue in this country for several years now. But for Palestinians, the cancellation of their art, as Malou was just speaking to, also their work, their traditional fashion, their cuisine, their literature, I mean, their very existence has been a systemic project of erasing and canceling their very existence has been a systemic project of a political movement, the Zionist political movement, for over a century. And is perhaps what created Palestinian Samud. Can you talk about that for a minute?
Well, if you're talking about the attack on Palestinian culture, I addressed this in the attack on writers in an essay in the book called They Kill Writers, Don't They? It goes back decades, and what it's about is eliminating any potential new leadership, Palestinian leadership. What Israel has done consistently is either imprison or assassinate anybody who has the potential to become like the Palestinian Gandhi or Mandela. In fact, I've often had discussions with people who are Israel supporters saying, you know, the problem with the Palestinians is they don't have any leadership. Where is their Mandela? Where is their Gandhi? Well, they're rotting in prison or they're dead. This started way back in 1972 when they killed Ghassan Kanafani, who was a writer who never picked up a weapon. But he was an activist, and he inspired a lot of people. But, you know, I think the Israelis really failed to kill him, even though they blew him up. The Mossad blew him up in his car in Beirut. And he definitely is dead. But his words live on, and he is constantly a Kanafani renaissance. There are new books coming out, new translations coming out. So they really have failed to kill his words and kill his ideas. And he's just one in the long line of writers who've been canceled by death. It goes all the way up until 2022 with Shireen Abu Akleh, the Palestinian-American Al Jazeera reporter, who was, you know, was proven by numerous investigations, including forensic architecture, that she was assassinated by an Israeli sniper's bullet. And we never found out who that was. And, you know, the Department of Justice, the FBI said they were going to investigate. And then they said, well, in the end, we're going to let the Israelis do the investigation.
Yeah, we're still waiting for that one.
Yeah, don't hold your breath.
Malou, you likely have a wider worldview than most of us. So I wonder if you can surmise a bit about how you think the world's understandings about the plight of Palestinians has changed since the Israeli military began their current attack on Gaza and the Palestinians in it, and how art and culture may have contributed to that cultural shift?
I think that because of the war being played out in real time on people's phones, suddenly there was a people were very curious. They really wanted to know what was about the Palestinian experience, and how is it that you have this, you know, these people who really are defenseless against one of the mightiest army, you know, a mighty army is against them. And I think that because we weren't really getting enough information from our reporting of what was going on there, we weren't really seeing there wasn't enough reportage about how pernicious the occupation had been, is that people were hungry for another entry into Israel-Palestine, and to figure out to know it better on another level. And I think that arts and culture has played a very important role in this, and that now, after, you know, this war is still not over, the occupation is not over, yet I think that despite all of this that's going on, and also because the solutions are not real solutions, people are looking to to Palestinian voices to actually present their culture, present themselves and their opinions, because we don't hear enough Palestinian voices. And that's what the art and culture and the literature does, the poetry does, is that this is a way for Palestinians to speak for themselves.
And the book does that so, so, so well.
We're out of time.
As Jordan alluded to, from Raja Shahada's The Third Way, A Journal of Life in the West Bank, quote, Samud is practiced by every man, woman, and child here struggling on his or her own to learn to cope with and resist the pressures of living as a member of a conquered people. Samud is watching your home turned into a prison. You choose to stay in that prison because it's your home and because you fear that if you leave, your jailer will not allow you to return. It is developing from an all-encompassing form of life into a form of resistance that unites the Palestinians living under Israeli occupation, end quote. And I would add Palestinians beyond as well. Folks, there are countless things that we don't know about what the future will bring, but one thing we know for sure is that we all need KPFK's independent and critical analysis of events, airing the views of scientists, journalists, academics, public intellectuals and activists, as well as artists and writers like the ones we've been hearing about today more than ever before. We need our community to band together to keep each other safe, informed, and well. And we need our radio station, KPFK, to continue to widely communicate with each other. Please call 818-985-5735. That's 818-985-5735, or log on to kpfk.org. Whether you can afford $25, $50, $100, $500, or $1,000, remember, Habitat for Humanity Los Angeles will receive a portion of all donations to this month's KPFK Fund Drive. The more we raise to keep KPFK on the air, the more we can help the folks who are suffering right now from the effects of the recent devastating LA wildfires through Habitat for Humanity Los Angeles. Supporting families and in our communities affected by the fires is up to all of us. We hope you will do so by contributing to kpfk.org. Once again, I want to thank our guests, Jordan L. Grobley and Malu Halassa, the editors of Samud, A New Palestinian Reader, published by Random House and available wherever you buy your books. I also want to thank Ozzy Flamenco for his fantastic production support today. For KPFK Los Angeles, I'm Esty Chandler, thanking you for your continued support of KPFK and for taking this time to put the Middle East in focus.